You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Welcome to our program on a busy Thursday afternoon. Let's get back to the calls. And John is calling next. Hello, John.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Thank you for the time.
Of course.
Hey, I was telling you the screener there. You turned me on to your ESPN podcast thing, and I'll have to check that out. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
If you could be brief, Paul, I missed the first hour and a half of the show, but I did hear you say that there was more bad remarks in reference to Brandon Miller. If you could, real quick, can you just give me a breakdown on what was said?
Well, John Feinstein was here from the Washington Post, and he said what others have said, that Brandon Miller should have likely been suspended for at least the rest of the regular season, maybe longer, maybe less, but he should have been suspended.
Wow. I mean, it's been this long with nothing, you know, being proven. And it's probably going to continue throughout the tournament, as bad as I hate to say
it.
Yeah,
I think that is a guarantee that it will. And, you know, he really didn't give a specific reason other than you can suspend someone for anything, which is a fact. But based on what Nate Oates said and has said repeatedly, they didn't feel like Brandon Miller had done anything that moved to a level or required a suspension. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it very much. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, Coach Saban back in the day, I think ESPN did a little story on him where kind of followed him for a day, and they said, you know, he gets up at 6, he gets his little Debbie at 6:30, coffee at 6:45, right? And then he's out the door in his Mercedes, and now it's a Lamborghini. I'm interested in this, and I'd like to know if you would spend, I don't know, I'll be quiet, let you answer this question, and that is, can you talk to us about what a day in the life of Paul Feinbaum is in terms of, you know, what time you get up, what do you do, what's the routine, what time you have to be there at the station, things like that. I mean, I think there's a lot of analytical people like myself out there that would like to kind of know, what's a day in the life of Paul Feinbaum, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Mark. I once had somebody do that many, many years ago, and he was so bored, I think he went home a couple of hours into it. It is fairly mundane, and I'm not just saying that because it's me, but I get up early, try to consume a lot of information, and just start working with everybody here on what's next. This time of the year, it's a little quieter during the football season. I think that would be more interesting following me, and we'll think about, for the 10 or 15 people that might be interested, how to let them in on that. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Rick in Houston. Hello, Rick. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Okay, quick statement and a couple of questions. Statement is, I am praying that the Panthers select C.J. Stroud so the Texans can get Bryce Young to join up with DeMeco Ryans and maybe write the franchise.
Well, that would be cool.
Question is, LSU Lady Tigers play Utah tomorrow for a trip to the Elite Eight. How do you think that's going to go? And second question is, you've had Coach Harper, Coach Yeo, Coach Staley on. You haven't had Coach Mulkey on in quite a while. Is there any particular reason for that? Is it a lack of availability on her part, or what's going on?
Rick, you're right. I don't think we have had her on. We've By the way, I think they'll end up in the Final Four, so we might want to get moving. But I really don't know how to answer that, and I'm not just deflecting it, because I've always found her to be a really entertaining and interesting person. So we will reach out and see if we can get her on. Thank you for the suggestion. I appreciate it very, very much. What's that? Okay. Let's check out T-Rad in Louisiana. Hello, T-Rad.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I'm not going to ask you how you are, because everybody else does. We already know the answer to that. I want to explain my name, T-Rad.
It depends on the way this call goes, T-Rad.
You got that right. I'll explain my name to you. It's a nickname, and it's what it boils down to is Little Red. My daddy was named Red, and when I was born, all my uncles called me T-Red. So they meant
like that.
Petite. Well, Petite in French, and then cut it off as T-Red. Anyway, have you ever heard of Boudreaux and Thibodeau?
Well, I lived in Louisiana briefly, so I'm familiar with some of the stories from South Louisiana. Enlighten us, please.
Okay, well, one's from Brobridge, and the other was from Karen Crow. And neither one of them was the sharpest knife in the drawer. So one day, Boudreaux told Thibodeau, he said, "Thibodeau, I'm going to build me a rocket ship and fly to the sun." He said, "Everybody done been to the moon already. I'm going to, you know, I don't want to go there. I want to go to the sun." Thibodeau said, "You crazy fool. You're going to burn up before you get there." He said, "Well, man, you don't understand." He said, "We're going to go at night."
That is a great line. I like that.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
T-Red, thank you very much. I appreciate the history of your family. Vance is in Georgia. Hello, Vance.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I've noticed that in the first hour, there's a good bit of music talk going on.
There was.
And I must admit that I am not a music man. Obviously, is infatuated with music almost to the point of Nick Saban, and you yourself are very knowledgeable.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still headed to Woodstock in 1969.
He looks like
you. He should have never left.
I wished he hadn't. But yeah. Anyway, I lived with a married couple. They were my peers, and their dad and the man's father owned a travel agency, and he would run into lots of people. And sure enough, he ran into one guy that says, "I got these three tickets for a John Denver concert. Would you like them?" And Greg says, "Yeah." And he comes to me and says, "Would you like the third ticket to go to this John Denver concert?" I said, "Sure, I'll go." And him and Leanne and I went down to the Omni. I don't know if you ever sat in the top row of the Omni in Atlanta,
no.
But it was dangerously steep.
Right.
You didn't want to come off of that, Paul. And the whole time John Denver's playing his concert, and he did a great job. This was in 1977.
Sure.
But this guy behind me kept kicking my chair with, you know, like tapping to the beat of the music. And I'm like, what the hell? And finally, I'd had enough of it after about 40 minutes, and I turned around and motioned for him to lean down. And he goes, "Yeah, what's up?" I said, "If you kick my chair one more time, I'm going to throw you from here to that damn stage. Quit kicking my chair." And all of a sudden, he quit kicking the chair, and I kind of shrugged my shoulders like, "You see what I got over you? Oh, yeah." And concert ends, and we're going out to the parking lot, and Greg and Leanne they're real quiet. I said, "Did y'all not like the concert?" They said, "No, we thought it was great." I said, "You know, seeing someone in person so much better." And they said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, what's wrong?" They said, "Oh, that guy you said you're going to throw on the stage, that's who gave us the ticket."
That's a great story.
Yeah, I'm like, holy crap, I have put my foot in my mouth so many times, I know what my toenails taste like.
That is very funny.
But real,
that's a good
real
story.
Real quick, Paul, I'm not a basketball man, which I've alluded to. And I know that basketball, there's all kind of reasons you could say it was so much better back in the day. The kids had to stay 3 years, but some of them four. Paul, I have enjoyed this March Madness. I think next to college football and high school football, I think it's been fantastic. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's. I thought last weekend was one of the best tournaments. Starting Thursday was one of the best first and second rounds we've ever had. Hey, thank you very, very much for the call. It all starts again in about 2 hours, or a little bit under 2 hours. We'll talk more about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Let's continue. Cat Daddy is up next. Good afternoon.
Big Paul, you're looking good and sounding good as always. And look here, I got a couple questions I get from people coming in the liquor store every day. Every day go by, someone ask me a question or wants me to tell you something. So I wrote down, Junior said, why don't you write down some of the questions that they ask and then make a top three out of it. So I did that. And here's the top three questions I get asked, other than some South Carolina fans who I guess you already know aren't very happy with you, but they'll understand. But anyway, do you have a shrine to Nick Saban in your hot tub?
Yes.
All right. Why has Larry from Alabama not gotten a beer commercial? Everybody asked that question.
Too expensive to the beer company.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. And finally, and I hate to ask this question of him, Mr. Feinbaum, because it's not even with a thought of, but one fella asked me, and I won't tell you his name, Junior. He said, when did the defoliation start?
I don't know how to answer that one, Cat Daddy. But I appreciate your inquiry, though. Carl is up next in Georgia. Hey, Carl.
Thanks, Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're doing well. First of all, I want to say good luck to all the conference teams still in the Sweet 16. I hope they win. You had a caller the other day about Tony Mitchell.
Right.
He blamed Panama City for the man getting in trouble. But my concern is for my grandkids. They like to go down there to the beach. And I don't want some guy throwing a big bag of marijuana to their car window.
So, Carl, how does the Tony Mitchell situation affect your grandchildren on the beach?
Well, he said that Panama City is the marijuana capital of the world.
Right.
And I was concerned that somebody was going to do something to them, you know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Carl, I can't speak. I mean, I've been to Panama City a number of times. I've never seen an ounce of marijuana down there. But I think it's something you have to go looking for. I don't think you're going to find it just walking on the beach with kids.
Yeah. As far as the brackets go,
right,
your front runners, Legend, Larry, I-Man, Jim, they're all kind of order fry sort of a Happy Meal. So I'm throwing my support for a cheerleader since I married one. Have a great
okay.
day, Pop.
Thank you. David is up next.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you for the call.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Listen, I love your show, and I would like to give you a little bit of a backhanded compliment, if I may. There are in the rare instances, I listen every day on the way home, and on the rare instances that I hear a take or comments or remarks by you that just infuriate me to the point where I have to just turn off the show, but I can't make it 2 miles down the road before I turn it back on. So, again, enjoy talking with you.
Well, thank you.
I have a question. I'm going to hang up and listen. You had a caller a moment ago who asked you about Einstein's remarks about Brandon Miller, and you told him, and he guessed correctly, in my opinion, that all these questions and coverage are going to continue throughout the tournament. And I believe, and you said it's almost a certainty, and I believe you. And my question is not why do you believe it will occur, but why do you think the same questions, same venom, will continue until an uncertain time, and what possible benefit can it serve society to have the same conversation over and over again? Again,
well,
thanks for the call.
David, thank you very much. I don't think it's so much that it's going to be the same conversation. It's just what happens now or what will happen next week is that the media spotlight is simply going to be larger and brighter. And the national publications and broadcast mediums that have already covered it will cover it even more because of the gravity. The Final Four is always a big event, but controversy attracts media, and this will be like shining a light on a moth. And I think it's going to happen, and you're going instead of just getting the random comments, you're going to get the major networks, the major publications, the major entities, because they've already made up their mind. As I said earlier, they believe something should have happened, and they'll push that narrative deeper because of the gravity of the game. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. And Mike is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Mike.
Afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to call in, on this whole Brandon Miller thing. I mean, honestly, yes, I am a Hog fan. Yes, I am ecstatic. They will be playing UConn tonight. We'll pick. Go Hogs. But back to Brandon Miller. If it was myself or anybody else out here working day to day, and not a high-profile collegiate basketball player, we would be sitting behind bars right now with charges pending, waiting to go to trial. Just because he's a high-profile basketball player does not mean that he was in the right or was in the wrong, or either way. He knew what he was doing whenever he took said item to the other player.
Well, Mike, what you said can be challenged primarily because, I'm not going to try to make a legal case here, but to charge someone with accessory to murder, there has to be more to it than just getting a text, driving a car with the firearm in the back seat. So I think that would be a pretty tall hill to climb for a legal authority. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I sincerely doubt that had it been one of us, that we would be behind bars right now.
Okay, I understand that, but there should have still been some ramifications from the University of Alabama.
And let me ask you a question. Specifically, what should the university, not what should the university have done, but what would the university have used to justify a suspension, an expulsion, or whatever else?
Well, I mean, of course, we don't know all the facts behind the case.
Well, but hold on. You just got through saying, had it been the two of us, we would have been behind bars. So all I'm asking you is, based on what you know, not what you don't know, but based on what you know, what would the justification have been if you had been in charge to suspend Brandon Miller?
Well, I mean, the fact that he took a vehicle that carried the handgun. He drove a vehicle that carried a handgun that he knew the handgun was in the car or a firearm or whatever to another person for that person to commit a crime. I mean, that's...
But Mike, there are a couple of flaws in your argument. Number one, it seems to me, and this is just an opinion because I don't know either, that the university was satisfied that he was unaware that he was taking that gun for that purpose. So if he was unaware, then can you still do anything? Is my question. I mean, yeah, he was involved in something. He was involved with some guys who ended up getting in serious trouble that could very well affect their entire lives and already have affected one life. And the life of others, but I'm not arguing the case because we still don't really know what their thought process was. I'm just trying to understand what your justification would have been. We'll take a break. We have plenty of time to go here. Ari Wasserman will be joining us in a few minutes. We'll get his take on how college basketball can be related to college football. We'll be back with much more after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And it is always great to have Ari Wasserman joining us from The Athletic. He's taken a look at the Sweet 16, not the one that begins in about 90 minutes, but the Sweet 16 of college football. Ari, thanks for the time. Always great to visit with you.
Paul, always appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much.
It is our pleasure. And I'm really interested in something that you've done here, because it is the groupthink of all college football analysts has been Georgia has overtaken Alabama. Dynasty done. I feel like I'm quoting myself here. But let me ask you, you have a different view. Explain your thoughts on Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah. So what we did was we made our own Sweet 16 with football teams. And, you know, the number one debate that, you know, Andy Staples, my colleague, and I always have is Georgia the number one program in college football? And I think most people think that that's the case. For me, I'm a little bit more hesitant to crown them the number one program in college football. You know, what's interesting is Now, there's a lot of time spent on early top 25s and yearly rankings and where the teams finish and top 10 finishes. Like, I think that there is this concept out there of program rankings that just isn't out there that I want to try to kind of start at the Athletic, and that's ranking programs year by year. And Georgia's the number one team right now, and they certainly could win another national championship, but Nick Saban has won too much and has done too much for too long to have 2 years be the end of it. You know, now it seems to be trending in that direction, winning back-to-back national championships. I'm not trying to diminish, you know, what Georgia's done, because it's been incredible. But you're looking at an Alabama team that just signed 15 top 100 players in a recruiting class, and the greatest head coaches ever walked the face of the earth, and we're just going to hand it over to somebody else now? I still think the man has another in him, maybe as soon as this year. You know, so like if I were a five-star prospect and I wanted to go play football somewhere, I think it would be a hard decision to not automatically just choose Alabama because of the track record of winning. I think every signee at Alabama who has stayed for three years or more has won a national championship there, and their development is unparalleled. So, you know, this list was impossible, you know, starting with number one. And if you want to try to do it yourself, all you'll do is make everybody angry. But we did our best, and, you know, I feel like I'm the last one standing believing that Alabama is the best program in college football still.
Ari, I do want to ask you about the thing you said a minute ago, the talent, because, and then I want to get to some of the other schools, but you're an evaluator of talent. These 15, tell us a little bit about the impact they could have and how soon.
Yeah, you know, the thing with programs like Alabama is that the freshmen, for the most part, don't have to contribute right away. The beauty of it is, and where they make a difference is, down later on in the season when your starting left tackle tears his ACL or your quarterback gets injured or, you know, you are rotating defensive linemen in the fourth quarter of a playoff game. You know, you have these studs who come in and, you know, are able to contribute right away. You know, there's a lot of programs out there in college football that have really amazing players, but if those players get injured, you know, that's it for them. And for Alabama and for Georgia and for teams that do this, recruit this way, they are much more likely to, you know, survive and advance during the bumps and bruises of the regular season. If you go down the list and look at the guys they're bringing in, Caleb Downs at safety is a top 10 national player. Caden Proctor, an offensive tackle from Iowa. Justice Haynes, the running back from Georgia. I mean, Desmond, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And it's like, is there anybody on this list that I could just circle and say, hey, this guy is going to start at Alabama next year or be a main contributor? That's really hard to do when your roster is as stacked as theirs is, and they've had three or four classes in a row like this of kids waiting their turn. But it is the thing that manifests being able to win a national championship. And when I put together this list, Paul, you know, ranking the top 16 programs, being consistent was awfully hard, you know, because we are also taking account, you know, future projections while also looking at, you know, things that these teams have already accomplished. And it's just, you know, putting Alabama number one, I didn't do that lightly. I did that because I believe solely in the idea that Nick Saban's the greatest coach of all time. And the fact that they are their trajectory as a program, there's no drop-off there in terms of the talent they're bringing in. So why, after the 10, 15 years of pure dominance that we've seen out of this man, are we all of a sudden going to say, hey, this isn't going to ever go Alabama's way again? I think that, you know, college football and investing and, you know, just human temperament is all very similar. It's like when we're in the moment, we can't consider the fact that the way it is right now won't always be that way. When the market's up, we can never assume that or believe that it'll go down. When it's down, we never think it can go back up, you know? And it's like, this is, we're talking about Alabama here. People think they're done? I don't.
Ari, I think you make some really good points. The only fly in the ointment, I think, others would say, and I'm sure have already done so, is Kirby Smart in Georgia. Because we've seen the results the last 2 years. We know they came close in 2017. Mm-hmm. So that is really all that has changed, I think. And it's not a minor change. I know you would agree with that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, my colleague Andy Staples said that, you know, Nick Saban said himself that if Georgia gets the right person in the driver's seat there, that they're going to be the new Alabama. And I'm not doubting that Georgia will eventually get there. You know, I mean, when you think about Kirby Smart's age and the well-oiled machine that he's created there, and, you know, all those championships that he just got done winning and the games he's won, that, you know, the trajectory is there to do it. I don't, you know, this list isn't for what I think it's going to look like in 8 years. This list is for what I think about right now. And, you know, I look at Georgia's team and, you know, I think about, and maybe this is sacrilegious to say if an SEC audience is listening to this, but like Alabama's best receiver blew his knee out at halftime of that game. You know, what if Ohio State makes the field goal at the end of the semifinal this year? Like the line between national championship and not is so thin in this sport. And Nick Saban is the reason why we perceive it to be so easy, because Alabama has done it so many times. We just assume that Georgia is going to be able to rattle off six of them in the next 10 years. And that's not the way the sport works. And if anybody can get back on top and win it, look at this guy's roster. You don't think they could win the national championship this year, and then we're having a completely different discussion. So, you know, I personally think that, you know, hey, Georgia could go win the next two in a row, win four in a row, and that wouldn't shock me based on the way that that program is built. But, you know, with what Nick Saban has done, I think he deserves a bigger benefit of the doubt than it's over after 2 years.
Ari Wasserman has Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, LSU at number four. I want to zero in there for a moment before we run out of time.
Yeah,
because that's a big one right there.
Once you get past two, like what, you know, it becomes difficult because, you know, even with Ohio State, you know, I had a big internal struggle with whether or not Ohio State should be ranked ahead of Michigan. Michigan's won the Big Ten 2 years in a row. And has beaten Ohio State soundly in both of those games on the way to those championships. And, you know, are we ranking teams? Are we ranking head-to-head, you know, results? Or are we ranking teams that are most likely to win a national championship? And if you watch the playoff this year and everything that I believe in as it pertains to roster construction, I don't think there's any doubt that Ohio State's more apt to win one. So that's why I put them three. And then number four, you know, was a really typical decision, because if you look at, you know, the other teams that you would have to consider there, you know, Andy put, you know, Michigan three and Ohio State four, but what about, you know, Clemson? You know, once you get past Clemson, it's like, who else is going to win a national championship? Oklahoma, USC, LSU has won a recent national championship. I believe their last three head coaches have won a national championship. They have a head coach now that is the reason Notre Dame is still relevant, or relevant to the degree that they are. And they are in a deeply talented state and the only Power 5 program in that state. So as I'm ranking programs and the health of the programs and what they've accomplished recently, you know, even having a pretty good season last year, despite the fact that people thought they weren't going to be very good, you know, if my life's on the line here and I'm picking programs that I think are likely or could win a national championship in the next 3 or 4 years, I'd be crazy not to put LSU. And Andy put LSU down at five, so I think we're kind of both on the same page. You know, and it's just like everybody is so zeroed in on what happened last year. And it's like what happened last year is in a vacuum and it's important and we can gain context from it, but it's not everything. And we're trying our best to create an impossible list while trying to think about all the context. Past results, current head coach, current leadership, and future probability of being very good. And I thought LSU was a nice little, you know, pick to be number four.
The next SEC team is Tennessee at 15. It's interesting. A year ago, we all might have said Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Will we ever say Texas A&M again, at least in recent time?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about this list. And, you know, we came into it because, you know, if we did a way too early ranking like everybody else, Texas A&M might be number 12, number 10, somewhere in that range because of the pure roster talent. But this list also could not ignore actual accomplishments. So programs that have, you know, recruited very well or had a lot of hype that haven't reached their potential did not make this list. Like, you'll find that Texas is also not on this list because at a certain point on the field results have to matter. And that hasn't been the case in College Station. And I personally thought that if they were able to string together classes consecutively the way that they did 2 years ago, which is the greatest class of all time, you know, funny enough, I think Georgia will outdo that this year. It's crazy, you know, 18 top 100 players in a single class. If they would have done that multiple times, you know, they'd be in a position to win a national championship because, to me, it's 80% talent accumulation and 20% everything else. but they have not won on the field. So there was nothing that we could do to put them there, because that's the problem that fans have with preseason polls, right? Everyone's like, well, Texas is top 10 and A&M's top 10 every year. When have they ever been top 10? And it's like, yeah, you're probably right, because early polls, the point of them is to project how this season will go. But as it pertains to best programs in college football, you can't fathom putting on a team that hasn't even competed for its conference championship or won the conference championship in the last 5-10 years. And that's the reason why they're so low, or not ranked at all, excuse me.
Always one of the great guests that we have. Ari Wasserman from The Athletic. Many thanks, Ari. We appreciate it very, very much as we head to the break. That was really fascinating. We'll digest that and get your phone calls and your reaction in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Are back here on a late Thursday afternoon. Let's get some more phone calls going. And Ricky is in Mississippi. Hey, Ricky. Ricky, you there?
Yeah. Good, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, that guy you just had on, man, that was an astute assessment, man. I was impressed.
He was quite good. But whether you agree or not, he laid it out very well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and I do agree. I do agree. You know, you could quiver between 3 and 4, you know, but I thought it was pretty good. But what I was calling about, what was the guy named?
Dan Wetzel.
Yeah. He, I take a little issue with, you know, I guess I'm a person that, you know, I don't have problems with rules, because I think you need rules in society. I think your total freedom breeds chaos, you know. So I just think that for a little bit, not so much the NIL. I do believe in the players getting paid, you know, but I do think that if you don't have some sort of parameters on certain things, just like the lady had called, you know, you wonder, because you're dealing with 17 to 20 year olds, having so much freedom to do, you know, you wonder, you know, I mean, you know, and some of them not going to have a mentor or someone that's an advisor, and, you know, we see what just happened with that guy, Alabama, you know. I mean, with 141 miles an hour, that's with a car like that, you know, and, you know, so I think sometimes.
But something, Ricky, though? I mean, Henry Ruggs did the same thing a couple of years ago and ended up.
Correct.
You know, we had a fatality, a terrible death as a result. And so you would think one would learn from the other, but these things just don't seem to connect from one to the next.
Right. And I think it's some of them are just, you know, they're people who are thrill seekers, and, you know, because really if that young man, and I think what Saban was saying, I don't think he took a shot at Nate Oates. I think he was talking to his players and saying, well, you know, in that instance, how can you be at the wrong place at the wrong time?
Right. And by the way, I think you're right. In the end, it could have been subconscious, but and I'll say this as nicely as I can, because Saban has supported Nate Oates, but Nate Oates does not exist in Saban's orbit. That's not
right. Exactly.
He's a basketball coach, and Saban said today that he doesn't watch basketball coaches' press conferences, and really there's nothing more he needs to say.
I agree with that. I mean, because I think he's totally into his player.
Yeah.
And he was sending the message, look, you know, the act that he did, that's not being at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's an act that you wanted to do. You know, because, I mean, you know, Did nobody accidentally throw no half pound of weed in his car?
No, you're 100% correct about that. Hey, always great to talk to you, Ricky. We're heading to the break. A busy show, man. We have been jam-packed, and we still have an hour to go here on a Thursday afternoon as we get ready for the Sweet 16 in exactly an hour. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.